is chilling. What more can I say? Top billing.
What up, y'all? This your boy Bill Bellamy. Welcome to Top Billing, the number one podcast in the nation for the culture, the movement, and the discussion. My special guest today is none other than Chris Spencer. Actor, comedian, producer, director. I might want to add.
I don't know why you stopped.
No, just keep going. Comedian, this guy.
Philanthropist,
dad.
Husband,
one of my best friends in the game, 25 years and running.
At least, right?
I can't wait to get into your life story, man. Strong representative here from Inglewood, California.
What up?
West Side, baby.
West Side is represented here, but it wasn't represented on the Grammys.
I don't understand.
The hip hop, 50 years of hip hop, and the only person they showed was
Too Short.
It was Too Short.
Yeah. We have a lot of contributors on the West Coast. You being a true Californian,
yes.
You felt some type of way when you watched
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Right? Yeah. I mean,
who
Ice
else?
Cube.
Who? Well, we can't. So, we can't go less than five if we go West Coast.
Because
you got to do Q.
Right.
You got to do Snoop.
Yep.
You got to do Dre.
Yep.
You got to do.
You kind of got to give Game some love.
You got to go Game. Because Game, they missed Game on the Super Bowl.
Yes.
And then you got to go Kendrick.
But Kendrick, YG. I mean, there's a lot of people, man. It was disappointing, especially being from here and knowing that even Dr. Dre, although he got that Lifetime Achievement Award or the Icon Award, he could have came up there and whistled something.
Still Dre or something.
Still Dre, the Chronic something.
But
so,
if it's 50 years of hip hop, I think they should have 50 artists.
I think they should do 50 artists, but it can't be on the Grammys. You know what
no,
I mean?
It has to be some type of thing. When we do a tribute, it's 50 of the most prolific artists. That would be, and it's still going to be hard.
Right.
It's like doing your top five rappers.
Basketball. Or basketball, yes.
It's tough.
Who's your top five rappers?
My top five rappers ever, Biggie, Tupac, Jay-Z, Eminem, and I'm going to round it out with Big Daddy Kane.
Right. See, that was very East Coast for you.
Yeah. It's very East Coast. What about yours?
Yes, I got Snoop and Ice Cube in there.
Bam.
I got Biggie.
Boom.
Rakim.
Got to. You're not gonna lose with any going with.
No, you can't. You can go Jay Z. You can go Nas.
Yeah. You're not gonna lose.
Right. You can go Kid Frost. I mean, there's so many people.
Like, this is an interesting thing about
Kid Frost should have got a laugh.
Our friendship, right?
Mm-hmm.
I was starting out doing stand-up on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
You out here on the West Coast going for it.
Right.
We had no internet, no ways of knowing each other.
Right.
Def Comedy Jam came out of nowhere and brought so many comedians from different places together.
Yep, absolutely.
Were you a part of that first wave?
No, I was not. I was in the mainstream rooms. Mm-hmm. I would occasionally visit the hood. I would go down where Robin Harris was at the Comedy Act Theater, have two good shows, bomb, don't come back for 3 months. You know what I mean? I was like, these niggas don't like me.
These niggas do not
so
like me.
So when Def Jam came out, I was like, I'm not ready to do Def Jam. I went to the Oakland Bay Area Comedy Competition and took an L. I'm like, the blacks aren't ready for me yet.
Right.
And so I watched you guys. I watched you, Chris, Bernie, everybody come up. And I was like, there wasn't like, oh, I should be there because I knew I wasn't ready yet.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then I slowly, by the time it came, second season I would have probably been ready, but I kind of was still doing a lot of different rooms across the country.
Yeah, but here's the funny thing about our connection, right?
Right.
And it's weird how I met you because I vividly remember feeling like you came out of nowhere to me.
Right.
Because I wasn't seeing you in the rooms that I was going in.
Right.
But then when I came to California, I saw you everywhere.
Right.
And my first introduction to you was twofold. There was a show, a TV show, which we were both in the running for. And you got it. It was for Vibe Magazine.
Right.
And that was the first time that I met you.
Right.
And Keith Klinkscale.
Yes. Who loved you.
Who loved me and brought me in and wanted me to do this show. And I was already doing a pilot for my own show.
Right.
So I couldn't do it.
I thank you for that.
Thank you. Right? Yes. Great opportunity.
Absolutely.
So at that time, what was going on in Chris Spencer's life?
Chris Spencer actually was asked by Jamie Masada at the Laugh Factory to come meet Quincy Jones. They're doing this show called Vibe. And I was like, talk show host. I'm an actor.
Right.
I don't host.
Right.
And so I kept saying no. And Jamie was like, please, buddy, just come meet the man. Come meet him. I was like, all right, fuck it, I'll go meet him. I said, but I don't want to meet him because he's going to talk me into it. Because, you know, he had just discovered Will, Oprah, Whoopi. So I go in there. His back is turned to me. I go, Mr. Jones, Chris Spencer is here. He turns around. He looks at me and goes, so, you the motherfucker that don't want to meet me. I was like,
huh? Are you serious?
Yes. And then we talked about the history of comedy and his love for comedy. He said, just come through this audition process. And it was like four or five of us. And I got the job.
And you got the job. And mm-hmm. now, from that moment on, uh-huh. you and I share so
many stories.
Oh, my God. Yes. I will never forget playing basketball with you at the MTV.
Rockin' Jock.
When Coolio took a bath from Busta Rhymes.
Oh, my. Why would he go on after? Here's what's so funny. When I hear Busta, I think of Rockin' Jock. Every time. Even at the Grammys. When you really want to rock with me, just to see me. I think a rock and
no
jock.
One could follow. This is a true story, everybody.
Coolio
had
the rest in peace.
Rest in peace to Coolio. He had the number one song yeah. in the country,
Gangster's Paradise.
Gangster's Paradise.
But it can't follow.
At the same time,
yep.
Busta Rhymes had Put Your Hands Where Your Eyes Can See.
Shit.
And that song was like.
It was an anthem.
It was an anthem.
Right.
And
Coolio's was a fucking melody.
What was it? It was cute.
It was cute. But it was big because it was very mainstream.
It was MTV friendly.
Right. Was that Fantastic? It was a Fantastic Voyage.
And he had Fantastic Voyage.
But it was called something Voyage.
So he had, if you understand, he had Gangster's Paradise.
Right.
He had Fantastic Voyage.
Right.
And he had one more song. And they were all big.
But they were very fucking mainstream and they broke the color barrier so that the whites could rap.
Right. And so.
So the whites could crip walk.
Right. And so.
I can dance
so
to this.
So out of nowhere, here comes Busta Rhymes and he bodies Coolio. It was bad. People were walking out of the, we was at Pauly Pavilion. Where were we?
Pauly Pavilion. Here's what's crazy. I sound like you. This is bananas. Listen. What we know as comedians is like, yo, who's on the show? I know I'm the bigger name. Mm-hmm. That motherfucker, we are in Mississippi. This is his shit. We know to let him close.
Correct.
Coolio should have known, okay, my song is number one, but his shit is fire. Let him close. You gotta know when to fold him.
No,
you know what I mean?
But sometimes ego get in the way.
Ego
and the record
gets
labels.
In the way, yes.
So I have a question for you.
Okay.
How do you be a guy like, let's just go back. Mm-hmm. How are you able to navigate through? You didn't do the Def Comedy Jam thing.
Right.
You grinded in the mainstream rooms and you mm-hmm. came back to us and then you went back and mm-hmm. you've been able to do that. And then you start writing.
Right.
And then you started writing good shit.
Right.
And you created a show, Real Husbands House, a Real Hollywood Husbands on BET.
Real Husbands of Hollywood.
You created Real Husbands of Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And it started out like a skit and it became a real show. Right. I watched all this shit.
Thank you, man. So
proud of you, bro.
Thank you.
And
man.
I'm like, yo, Chris is not taking no motherfucking days off on this shit, right?
Can't.
People can say what they want, but you ain't taking no days off.
We got kids in private school.
Yeah, bro. Let's go. So you create a show. Mm-hmm. You team up with your boy Kevin Hart.
Yes.
You guys make a hit.
Yeah.
How did that happen?
Well, we had we were doing the I think it was 2009 or 2010 BET Awards, and Jesse Collins and Stephen Hill were like, we need something different to fill in the time. And as opposed to Kevin going out there doing some stand up, we both realized that our wives watch these fucking shows that we can't stand. We're like, turn it off. Wait, what did Nene say? And so we found ourselves enamored with this show. And we were like, yo, what if we did it with some guys? And basically that first sketch, which was on BET,
yeah.
was Anthony Anderson, Jermaine Dupri, Nick, Boris, Nelly, and Kevin. And Tammy Anderson, Green, whatever her new last name is. Candy's, Tammy. Was the first sketch.
And it we called it a people. Sketch and you made it a show of, that never happens.
What happened was, it came out and people petitioned, and this was back in, I think, MySpace days, and like, yo, this shit's gotta be a fucking TV show. And I said, Stephen Hill, are you reading all this, these emails? He's like, yeah, we're here, but we don't know. And then the next year, we did the sketch again with Sam Jackson, Kevin Faison, and Fabulous.
What a collection.
And it was undeniable. And then we did five seasons on BET, and then we did a sixth season on BET+. And it's been the gift that keeps on giving.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And it solidified you as a showrunner, mm-hmm. executive producer, and a writer. Mm-hmm. And then, out of nowhere, here comes a movie.
I just realized that my whole life has been out of nowhere. The hosting came out of nowhere.
Out of nowhere.
The series came out of nowhere. And then this directing thing came out of nowhere. So my partner, Eric Daniel, and I... Mm-hmm. Jeru Tillman, who I used to do Tripping on Tuesdays with.
Yes.
He knew about the script. He says, yo, I got a guy that might finance it.
Right.
And that's Ely Samaha, who owns the theater and owns Yamashiro's and Half a Sunset. And so we pitched it to him, and he loved it. And then it went away. And then this young guy, a brother named Gino Taylor, met Ely and was like, I want to do some of your projects. What are they? And they gave him a slate. And he goes, this is the first one I want to do, which was... back on the strip. And so they were like, who's going to direct it? And my partner Eric was like, Chris. I was like,
what?
That's how it happened. He says, nobody knows. You know all the people. You're everybody's comfortable around you. You're kind of the go-to. You're the uncle, the godfather, the OG, whatever they call you. You should direct this. And I had never directed a feature before.
I know.
I had done a video, some commercials, 3 pornos, but they didn't air.
They didn't air.
They never made it.
Now, here's the thing that's interesting. I want everybody to know the story. We did a film together that will be out very, very soon.
April 21st. We have a date now.
April 21st. Yes. Back on the strip. It has the best comedians in the game in one movie. You have J.B. Smoove, mm-hmm. Gary Owen, yeah. Faison Love. Mm-hmm. You have Kevin Hart, yeah. Bill Bellamy, Tiffany Haddish, Wesley Snipes, directed by Chris Spencer. We are ready to rock and roll. And I want to tell everybody how I got to be a part of
it.
Yes, right?
Tell them, please.
Because during COVID, we had a chat.
Right.
And we're doing man jokes yes. on chat. Yes. We sending each other videos, doing all this. And in one of the chats, you said, B, you got to read this role for Face. You are Face. I don't want to hear about it. Just read it. And you call me back. You was not playing. You was like, you read it tonight and call me in the morning. I'm not playing with you. I felt like I had homework. I was like, oh, shit, he going to call me too. Sure enough, 10 o'clock next morning, you call me. What you think? I was like, I'm doing it. You was like, I knew it. And that's how I got into
it. Here's what's great, that you actually fucking read it as soon as most people read it. Yeah, I'll get to it. No. You actually read it.
No, because I knew it was something that meant something to you, and the fact that you called me again, I said, I'm not going to mess this up. I am going to sit down. I'm going to shut off the TV, the mm-hmm. phones, and everything. And when I read it, I saw all the dysfunction. Yes. I saw the family. Yep. I saw the story, and I saw all the comedy. So I was excited.
Right, because it's a great story. Mm-hmm.
What did tell people the story of the movie?
So there's a young guy named his name is Merlin, right? Mm-hmm. And he wants to be a magician, and he's a horrible magician. And he decides to after losing his girl, he decides to move to Vegas. He's looking for magic work. He can't get any magic work. He does this. Karaoke show where he's like, I'm not gonna do karaoke. I'm gonna show these guys my magic. So he does the magic, and he does this trick he can't conquer, and he burns off his clothes, and he's got a thing.
Yeah, he's got something for the
ladies.
He's got
a strap.
They think Pete got to meet Merlin. He's got a strap.
And so you remember the original title was gonna be?
What was it?
It was My Magic Johnson.
My Magic Johnson.
Yes. Because it was like a spoof on Magic Mike, but it wasn't really a spoof.
But My Magic Johnson.
Yeah. But I called Magic. He's like, nah, we ain't gonna do that. We ain't doing that.
Right.
But we'll support. Me and Cookie will support, but we ain't doing that. Right. So, boom, back on the strip, which is a play on two words. A, they're on the strip doing stripping.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? And so, I don't want to give everybody the story, but this brotherhood and this family that forms from when he comes to Vegas and you guys taking him under your wing. Because you guys, you know, are retired for like 20 years. Yeah. So now you're getting back together with him. And then the brouhaha and the fun.
And the comedy.
And there's a great little love story. Wait till you
see it. Yeah, man. It's just a really wonderful movie that you guys will enjoy. And Chris, what's next that you want to do? I mean, you obviously now you know you can direct.
Right.
And you have a filmmaker's eye. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing that I love about you mm-hmm. that helps us as comedians, because you are a comedian.
Right.
You know funny.
I know
and
funny.
you can bring out the best in everybody.
Right.
That's an asset
so,
for you.
I've been fortunate enough to, you know, I write for all the award shows, right?
Can you please tell them?
Okay, so
get your flowers.
So let me explain to everybody how these award shows work. So let's say they hire Bill Bellamy to host the MTV Awards. Mm-hmm. They're going to give him some writers to write the show. And then Bill is going to call upon his people.
Absolutely.
Me, D-Lay, Buddy Lewis, whoever, to write for him because we know his voice. We know his sensibilities. We know what he thinks is funny and what he thinks is not funny. So I always become that guy for Mike Epps, Kevin Hart, Jamie Foxx, Leslie Jones, Wanda Sykes, Tiffany Haddish, Anthony Anderson, Tracy Ellis Ross, so Taraji, Regina Hall. So they know I know their sensibilities and they trust me.
Right.
They know, and I'm not afraid to tell the powers that be that Bill Bellamy ain't doing that shit, so let's figure out something else.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's a lot of other head writers that are like, they just try the joke for them. I'm like, fuck that. Bill don't talk like that. Bill ain't going to do it. All right. Exactly. Bill is going to walk. I'm that guy. You know what I mean? So I think a lot of the comedians respect me for that, as well as the powers that be. They go, yo, I understand
why
they
want to. And that's essential for us. You know,
absolutely.
You know,
I'm going to fight for us.
For every comedian that you see in front, there's somebody behind helping.
Yes.
There's somebody assisting that success.
Absolutely.
And I want to give you your flowers as a writer. But I feel like you definitely have it. You have the talent.
Right.
You have the vision. Mm-hmm. I just want you to keep building on it.
Yeah, so my next thing is I don't care about, I mean, all that stuff is great.
Okay.
But our foundation is stand-up comedy, right?
Correct.
So my next thing is my special, which I'm going to shoot in March 23rd here in downtown LA. The Cicada Theater is beautiful. And because if we were in high school and we walked into the cafeteria, I'm not going to go sit with Shonda Rhimes and Kenya Barris. I'm not going to go sit over here with Viola Davis and Anthony Anderson. I'm going to go sit over here with the clowns.
Yeah,
it's me, you, Lavelle, Tony Roberts, Tiffany, you know what I mean?
That's your crew.
That's my ilk.
Yeah, that's your peoples.
My tombstone can't read, he used to punch up a gang of shit. No. I am a comedian. And so when I used to be on the road, you know, I would get road gigs, but I wouldn't be in the clubs and the theaters like you guys. I'd go do a specialty gig like, you know, the black alderman in Detroit's birthday party.
Right,
you know
right,
what I
right,
mean?
Right,
and,
right, right.
Or, you know, I'm hosting Culture Shift Weekend in San Francisco for all the black people who work in tech. But I wasn't really in the clubs like you guys. And if I was in the clubs, I wasn't hitting I wasn't at the Uptown. I wasn't hitting the black clubs. And so I would envy when I would see you guys in the airport. And you guys, you know, some of you guys would envy what I was doing. I was like, no, but I am a comedian. Fuck that I hosted, you know, Marion Barry's granddaughter's birthday party.
Yeah, but people don't understand how much the love we have for stand-up, right?
Stand-up.
It is so much fun. And it's really a passion that's like a blessing and a curse because, like, literally this morning, I got up writing jokes at 5:30 in the morning.
Absolutely.
Because, like, I just had an idea and I was like, before I go back to sleep, let me write it out while it's quiet.
Here's what's so funny. I used to feel guilty waking up at 3 in the morning and typing. I'm like, my wife's going to think I got somebody on the side.
Right.
Right. So I'd be typing, and I'm like almost sneaking, like I'm cheating. Like, I don't want her to see the lights. So, what are you doing? I'm like, there's some funny shit about refrigerators I just thought up. You know what I mean? And so, let me tell you how much comics love comics. I don't give a fuck who you are. Are we allowed to cuss on this show?
Yes, you are. Yes,
okay, good. If you see Jerry Seinfeld walking, and you say, yo, Jerry, what's up? It's Chris. You're like, Chris, yeah, I work at the Laugh Factory, blah, blah. He will sit there and have a conversation with you if he's not in a rush.
Absolutely.
About stand-up. We love each other. We know what everybody's going through. Before, listen to the story. And I love watching your stories because me and you have so many Hollywood stories.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people have comedy stories, but me and you, since we've touched Hollywood, Inglewood and Brentwood, you know what I mean?
We, like, know a lot of
we
people.
We have a lot of stories. So, I'm doing Caroline's, right? Mm. I'm doing an 8 o'clock show. No, I'm doing a 10 o'clock show. Jeff Garland's doing an 8 o'clock show. Jeff Garland brings in Robin Williams.
Oh, my God.
This motherfucker did a Coolio, right? He put Robin on first.
Oh, it's over.
Robin Williams was so fucking funny that the pictures of the dead comedians on the wall were laughing. Tears were coming out of Richard Pryor's eye, and Sam Kinison was fucking wiping his forehead. Yo, he was murdering. And Jeff Garland had to go be Coolio after that, right? So,
yeah. No disrespect, Jeff.
Jeff, we love you, but you know that was you shouldn't sign Gangster's Paradise after fucking this motherfucker just did. Put your hands where my eyes can see.
But the thing about us, right?
Hold on. I'm not even finished with the story.
Oh, shit, go.
I'm talking about the love for comedy. So Robin Williams comes in the back. There must have been a Pied Piper or the fucking New York comedy flautist who went, and there's comics coming in like roaches, and Robin is holding court. And we're listening to Robin like a fucking little kid. Like, wow. And he's loving it because he hasn't done this in forever. He's loved telling stories. He's listening to him. This guy's an open micer. This guy's just came from Canada. This guy's a Russian comedian. And he's like, oh, really? I've been to Russia once. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, yeah, I remember the first time I did open mic. He's acting like us.
Wow.
Here's the fucking crazy shit. So I said, Robin, how come you don't do the Comedy Store anymore? He goes, oh, well, about 20 years ago, I drove up into the Comedy Store and these two black guys came up to me and said, Robin Williams, what the fuck you doing here? I was like, what? They were like, what the fuck you doing here? And I was like, I'm performing in the main room. And they were like, get the fuck out of here. And so I left. I said, Robin, that was slang. He goes, what do you mean? When they saw Robin Williams,
yes,
fucking Mork from Ork,
walk in person, bugging.
They were like, get the fuck out of here. I said, you see Donnie Brasco? That's how they talk, fucking Italians talk like that. He was like, oh. I said, and then they said, get the fuck out of here, and he stopped going on stage. Whatever the fuck I said. He was like, oh. Monday, Tuesday's newspaper read, Robin Williams returns to the Comedy Store after 25 years.
Are you serious?
I was Forrest Gump in that situation.
Ah, yes!
I was responsible for Robin Williams coming back.
But here's the thing, man. I have had so many incredible experiences at that Comedy Store.
Sure.
That place is like a gym.
Yep.
It's like a gym for basketball.
Absolutely.
It's like a gym for boxers. Mm-hmm. You go to that Comedy Store, you never know who you're going to see.
Absolutely.
Who was one of the most prolific comedians you saw perform there and you didn't expect to one night? Just happened to go to the Comedy Store.
Richard Pryor.
Ah!
But it wasn't the Richard we grew up to.
Was he sick?
He was in the chair, yeah. And I couldn't watch.
It was too.
I was like, you know what? I'm gonna keep the memories that I watched a little bit.
Was it the night that Eddie Murphy was there and Arsenio hosted?
Yeah,
I performed that night.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah,
you were Busta Rhymes.
I was Busta Rhymes. Because I remember I wish somebody would have filmed that.
I know.
So that night, I went up there thinking that I was just going to, because Shaq had called me and was like, yo, come through tonight. There's supposed to be something going on. Yeah, Arsenio was going to be. He didn't tell me Richard Pryor was performing. So I was like, okay, cool. I get there. I see Arsenio. I'm like, yo, what's going on? Then I saw Eddie. And then Arsenio said, won't you come do some minutes? And I was like, what? I was like, oh, snap. So I actually went on right before Richard Pryor.
I remember. That's what I'm calling. You made him Coolio. Asshole.
I didn't mean to.
I mean, no, we got to do what we got to do.
Right, but the thing was, I had never met Richard Pryor.
Right.
And I was so honored. And I can't believe I never asked you, were you there? Because that's one of the most unbelievable moments in my life that
absolutely.
I remember. Like, I've always wanted to meet Richard Pryor.
Absolutely.
I never met Red Fox. I know. I never met Red Fox.
I never met him either.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I never met Della Reese.
Flip
you
Wilson.
You know, there's Flip Wilson. Like, these guys were like
instrumental
in my life. Like,
right.
Richard Pryor is in me.
Absolutely.
Like,
all of us have the same stories.
Yeah.
Sneaking and listening to the records and the tapes. Oh, yeah.
If you could, right now, if you could pick three of your favorite comedians that you feel influenced your life and made you Chris Spencer. I know one is Richard Pryor. Who are the other two?
Damon Wayans.
Oh, yes. God.
I thought I was Damon. I thought I was Wayans.
You thought you was...
Listen, I used to walk around with my eyes tight because I used to be with them all the time. Thanksgiving, Christmas, I was a Wayans. Until one night, me, Sean, and Damon were at the Improv, and we came out, and we were in the car, and they were whispering. And I was in the back seat trying to listen, and they were like, Chris, can you step out for a minute? We're just talking about some family shit. I was like, oh! I'm not...
You got cut right there.
I am Chris Spencer, not Chris Wayans.
Yeah.
And that's when I realized, oh, shit, I need to open my eyes and realize who the fuck I am.
And Now, this is also an interesting thing about your career, too, is, like, you have been such a, like, amazing husband and father to your family. And still, balance, I know it's hard for me.
Yes.
You know, we do what we do. You know, I haven't added director to my thing. Right. I haven't added, like, writing a show, but I've done a bunch of stand-up and produced a bunch of stuff.
Right.
How do you make the shift from...
Well, listen, remember, who was the executive producer on the movie? My wife.
Your wife.
So she gangstered her way in that. But here's what's funny. Pre-pandemic, right, she had been begging me, we need to work together. I'm separating church and state, right? I don't want to work with you.
Right.
I argue with you about dog food and kids. I don't need to talk about fucking takes and jokes. You know that?
Exactly.
And so we created Date Night with Chris and Vanessa, right? You and your wife did it. And I was like, oh my God, I love and like you, right?
Right.
She was her own separate person. She wasn't trying to be funny. We were opposites in terms of what the host's roles should be, but we worked perfectly together, just like our marriage.
Absolutely.
And I was like, oh my God, we could do this. And so what both of us, I think why it works, A, we're gone enough to miss a motherfucker. You know what I mean? Like, when we come home, we really want to be with these people.
Yeah, yes.
What y'all doing? What y'all do on Saturdays?
Let's
what y'all
do something. Let's go.
Yeah. And they appreciate that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so we miss each other, and we know what's out there. We ain't like the average comedian. We was cute in high school.
Right.
We was fucking in high school. Okay, so a lot of these people get lost because they're unattractive, and now they got new teeth, and now they end up fucking up their marriage. New teeth is the number one killer of marriages of comedians.
As soon as you get some teeth, you think you can get them.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yes.
As far as stand-up, and I always want to ask my comedians, because people ask me this all the time, because cancel culture is so subjective.
Right.
And a lot of comedians is like, I'm not subduing to it. I really want to be me and keep my voice. Do you find it a little weird?
I'm subduing to it, okay? Listen, we still have to keep our edge. I just saw your special.
Yeah.
It ain't like you weren't fucking Bill Bellamy. But there's some shit you did in 92 that you don't do in 2022.
You can't.
And now it's 2023. So you have to be respectful. Like, you know, we used to say the F word.
And everything.
The F word and that word you don't do no more. And we understand. Just like... And it's so funny, like, we get a pass, but, like, some of the white guys who have said some edgy shit back in the day, and now their shit comes up, and they go, you know, that's how we talked around my friends, and I've learned from that. Like, we don't really give them a pass. It's like, no, motherfucker, you're racist. You know what I mean? And everybody grows. You know what I mean? Everybody fucking grows. Even if they were racist at one time, I think you have the ability to not be racist no more. Just like, here's what's funny about us. Like, not that we were homophobic, but that F word was a word we used.
Yeah.
And we didn't even say it to gay people. We said it to each other. You miss a layup. Look at this.
Right. Exactly.
You know what I mean? And we know not to use it no more.
Absolutely.
Look at Eddie Special. He says the word. Heavy D in his rap song said the word. You can't. You have to adhere to wherever the culture is growing.
I like that.
Just like you ain't got no more beeper.
No, it's done.
You got a cell phone.
Yeah, you got a cell phone. Okay.
With apps.
And now you got apps.
Yeah.
So when you think about your stand up, right? You working on your next special.
I'm the best. I'm sorry.
You are the best. And how are you? What do you want to state? I feel like you still need to make that statement.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I feel like, you know, you need your Chris Rock. I remember Chris Rock's first special that was at the Apollo. That was the benchmark for me. Like that Chris.
That was the second one. Man, remember the first one? The first one, they thought he wasn't black enough. And then he came back with Bigger and Blacker and did it in the blackest city, Harlem, at the blackest theater possible, Apollo.
Chris Rock, shout out to you. You motivated me with that special. That thing is a monster.
Monster.
It's in the Smithsonian.
Yeah. Who's your top five comedians?
My top five?
Yeah.
My peers?
Your peers.
My peers. Chris Rock, Dave Chappelle, Kev, Jamie, Cat.
It's fucking damn near mirrors mine.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, I could maybe flip one or two, but these guys, I just feel like they all have, and if I could throw Martin in there too, but it's just like, you know, these guys have done what it is to be a comedian first, right. And they just grew from there. Like right. they really, right. they're cemented in the story of comedians.
Yes, DL, you're gonna add DL.
DL
interchangeable, Cedric interchangeable. Yeah. Steve did a whole hour clean. Like, okay, I'm not normally clean. I'm gonna do an hour clean and murdered it.
Well, like, when you have the gift, it's not, it don't matter.
The bad words are extra.
Yeah, they're just dressing.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's unfair to actually have a top five with us. I mean, we can have our favorites, and sometimes it can shift from year to year. You know what I mean? But there's so many great funny people. You know what I mean? Even people like Scruncho.
Oh, I love Scruncho.
Jesus, he's an incredible story. T.K. Kirkland. I don't know if you're allowed to say their names in the same sentence.
Yes, you can.
But T.K. Kirkland is fucking hilarious. A genius. Corey Holcomb. Tony Roberts.
Tony Roberts. Oh, my God. My little bro, D-Lay.
Lavelle
Ali
Crawford.
Sadiq.
Sidney Castillo.
What? Sidney is a problem. Sidney Castillo,
James
I don't
Davis.
Know. I don't know what they waiting on.
Tony Baker.
There's a lot of guys out here that are like, right. they're like one thing.
One more thing. Zainab Johnson, have you ever watched her?
Oh, yeah.
She's brilliant. Ambria Allen. Jackie Fabulous done found her little footing.
What?
Yeah, she's murdering.
I haven't seen Jackie in a minute.
Oh,
yeah. I love
she's
Jackie.
She's so funny.
She was on Who's Got Jokes as
I
well.
I know she was.
See, yes. The thing that I love about Chris is that you're a comedian's comedian. And by that, I mean, like, you root for everybody. Mm-hmm. You charge for yourself. Mm-hmm. And you're like, you love our fraternity.
I love our fraternity.
Like, it's so cool to, because there's very few people that I feel, I mean, we all have a competitive spirit.
Sure.
You know, we want to be the funniest that night. Yes. We want to have a great set.
Right.
But I'm saying, like, you genuinely want everybody to win.
We should win.
And you've always been like that.
We should win. I mean, why are we competing against each other? Like, I want to go see Bill Bellamy movies. I want to go see Kevin Hart movies. I want to go see, you know, Tiffany Haddish movies. I want us all to win. And then I want us to uplift the next generation.
Right, and do things together. Like, I don't know why there aren't more collaborations
because
like we do.
These dudes didn't get pussy in high school.
Okay, that's what happened. Because pussy really is the equalizer.
It's the key. Because if you're in the movie with me and I didn't used to get pussy in high school, then you might take the pussy that I got now that I got my new teeth.
Right.
But if you've been fucking forever, it's like, yeah, anybody can come.
Come on. What is it?
Denzel, come on, get in the movie.
Hey, on the show, this is a portion of our show we call All Facts. We ask you a question, and you mm-hmm. can't. You got to tell the truth.
Okay.
You got to tell the truth, okay? Uh-oh. All right, everybody. All Facts with Chris Spencer. Chris Spencer, uh-oh. You get an opportunity to be on the show and headline with your greatest comedians.
Mm. Mm. Alive or dead?
It doesn't matter, but you have to close and you have to do well. Who would you put in front of you?
I can't be Coolio in this scenario. Shit. And listen, folks out there who still gangbang with Coolio, I love Coolio. We were friends. We're going to do a project together.
Right.
Matter of fact, let me shout out Coolio real quick. The first script that I've ever written in my life was because of Coolio. Me and Daryl Heath wrote this movie called A Lot of Lemons about this used car lot, and it was supposed to star Coolio.
No way.
Paul Stewart brought us in. He was managing and working with Coolio. My first time typing. So shouts out to Coolio. Rest in peace. Okay, now.
All facts.
I got to close.
You got to close. You got to follow the people you putting on the show. Go ahead.
I'll follow anybody in L.A., right? So I want Eddie.
You going to put Eddie Murphy?
Eddie Murphy.
Oh, you trying to work tonight.
Yeah. Okay. I'm going to make him host.
Okay. I love it.
Yeah. This is your guys. This is my Mount Rushmore.
Your Mount Rushmore. Go. You
ready?
Go.
It's Richard.
Richard.
Damon.
Damon.
Tiffany.
Tiffany Haddish.
Daryl Heath.
Oh, people sleep on Daryl Heath. Daryl Heath is a problem.
I'm going to do a documentary called Where the Fuck is Daryl Heath?
Daryl, wherever you are, bro, come back.
And we talk all the time. We did a show not too long ago.
Oh, my God. He is brilliant, bro.
Yeah,
Daryl Heath is brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely.
You lucky you didn't put Tony Robbins on there.
I'm not fucking following Tony Robbins. I wouldn't follow Tony Robbins at my family reunion.
Yo, Tony Robbins is a hurricane.
You know we're doing the Humor Mill Awards.
Are you really?
Yes. February 22nd, right here at the Directors Guild. I'm hosting. Tony Roberts is co-hosting. Johan is on
the
show.
That's going to be good. That's great energy.
Yeah, they're giving awards. Ralph Farquhar is going to get Icon of the Year. George Wallace is going to get...
Legend, something. Yes, legendary, something crazy. Yes. Okay, one more. Yeah. Okay. All right. Your next movie, you get the best, you get as much money you want to make your next film. Mm-hmm. As a director, but I want you to be in this one as well.
Okay.
What is your cast? Give me your favorite people you want to put in the next film.
Okay. I would love to do some sort of a heist.
Okay, cool.
Our version of Ocean's 11.
Boom.
Right, with us.
Okay.
We all rob Nick's check cashing. No.
And Nick is there.
And I would like it to be a combination of all my funny friends. You know, I'm like Scorsese.
Right.
So y'all four are following me everywhere I go. JB, Gary, Faison, and Bill.
That's easy.
That's it. Tiffany's coming.
Yes.
Kim Whitley's coming.
Oh.
Right?
Lunel. We got to throw Lunel
in there.
Oh,
Lunel is coming.
Lunel, she a scene stealer. Lunel will say something funny. You know she going to kill it.
You know I've been doing shows with that's a fucking beast?
Who?
Remember Caroline Ray?
Yes. Oh!
Sabrina the Teenage
Yo,
Witch?
Yo, Caroline Ray, I hosted an event.
Did I say Gary Owen? Of course Gary Owen.
Oh, yeah. John Witherspoon.
John Witherspoon.
And legend. When I say Caroline Ray, ain't nothing to play with. She's nothing.
Listen,
to play
me
with.
And Caroline, we're in Brea Improv, one of them, and we're talking. She goes, "Oh my God, I just realized." She's walking, looking around, I go, "What?" She goes, "I fucked my boyfriend in that bathroom right before the show." Okay, so I want some teriyaki chicken wings with the. I was like, "She's brash, raw,
yeah."
Funny.
She and then she'll go home and take care of kid. So real quick, before you get out of here, man, I want everybody how to follow you, and also tell them about. Back to the Strip.
Back on the Strip.
Back on the Strip.
Yeah, so you can follow me on Instagram at TheRealChrisSpencer. For those of you who just got out of jail, MySpace, Chris Spencer. Facebook is Chris Spencer. For the older audience, Black Planet, Chris Spencer. Back on the Strip. Friday, April 21st is when it comes out in Absolutely. A theater. 2,000 screens we got.
Let's go.
We're not fucking around with no streaming like everybody else. We're going to hit the theaters.
We in the theaters,
and fucking
baby.
Cross our fingers.
Let's go. One more time. Top billing, Chris Spencer, everybody. Make some noise. That's another amazing episode with my special guest, actor, comedian, producer, writer, director, Chris Spencer. I'll holla. Peace.
Milk is chilling. This is chilling. What more can I say?